We get things underway this afternoon in the second hour by welcoming back in studio our friend Mike Toole. Hello there, Mike.
Hello, Richard. It's great to be with you. Hello, Carrie. It's great to be in the studio with you guys finally. Seems like it's been a while.
It has indeed. Far too long here. You know, Mike, of course, well, we talk about him all the time as one of our sponsors from Clearpoint Capital. But Mike, also a broadcaster for University of Maine Hockey on the Black Bear Sports Network. And we want to talk about what you've seen so far. Let's start with the big picture. What have your early impressions been of new coach Ben Barr?
Well, I mean, look, we're at that part of the cycle where we're rebuilding. This is the painful part right here. You know, you can see progress from the beginning of the season to now. I see progress from one night to the next. And last weekend was a great example of it because they didn't really put a lot of shots on goal Friday night against Vermont, but they poured 51 on them the next night. Mm-hmm. Now, they didn't get the results they were looking for either that night, but you could see there was, you know, there was guys were executing on the game plan, which was, and coach told us in our meeting, we got to get pucks to the net and we got to get our defensemen to get those shots through, past that first defender, put it on the goaltender's pads and make him handle it and try to redirect it on the way through or get a rebound. Now, they got part one of that. They got the shots on net. I didn't see a lot of second chance opportunities or redirects. But 51 shots on goal is moving in the right direction.
And what he said to us on more than one occasion is they're searching for those guys who want the puck in a big situation. And he said there hasn't been a lot of that early on. It's getting better, though.
Yeah. You look at up and down the lineup and who's the go-to guy. There really isn't. Your top two scorers are your top defense pair, Brazil and Sirota. And, you know, that's all well and good for them, but that's a little unusual for, you know, for a team not to have a forward, you know, leading the pack or at least in the top two. So you keep waiting for some of these, like you said, some of these seniors to step in to assume the leadership role. And for whatever reason, I mean, some nights it's Lyndon Breen and some nights it's Donovan Uhle or somebody like that, and you see flashes of it, but you don't see it consistently, and it's a little bit frustrating, and I'm not really sure why, but I know from talking to Coach Barr, and he's an impressive guy, I'm just going to say it. I like everything about what he says to us. He's very forthcoming in our meetings, which is so helpful as a broadcaster to get some stuff to talk about.
Right.
You know, we start the game, we get about 3 minutes of air to fill before the game, and we are trying to frame it in a way that people, you know, we want to give people an idea of what they're likely to see. And so I just need some bullet points, you know.
Right.
Just give me some meat to chew on here, you know.
And there are those coaches
out there.
Doesn't
even have to be true.
Right. There are coaches that, you know, treat it like, you know, the nuclear codes, and I can't share this information, but he's very upfront.
Very upfront, and we really had a good session with Coach Woodcroft too. He's an impressive guy.
It's Todd Woodcroft from Vermont.
Yeah. So I look at those two guys and it's like they're the next generation of coaches that are coming up through. And maybe if I'm being cynical, maybe they just haven't been around long enough to be less forthcoming and haven't been burned by the media.
Right.
Like maybe somebody else has, who knows. But they are very forthcoming. Now, to put it in perspective, you know, I went down, well, Jeff Mannix does, and this is a great idea by him, he does an interview with the coach during the week. You know, normally we're scrambling to get down there.
Right,
you know,
right.
We meet with the main coach, and then we go down and find the other coach, and sometimes they're in a meeting, you're waiting around, and we've got to get on air and tape the open and blah, blah, blah. So Jeff got the idea to conduct an interview and tape it during the week with the coach, and he sends me, you know, the interview. So now I've got, it's really, really smart. Well, we just got there Friday night and we're, you know, compiling our notes and talking. Woodcroft comes up to the booth with a retro jersey, the Winnipeg Jets for Jeff's wife, who's a Winnipeg fan.
Wow.
And, you know, just, you know, little things like that go a long way. I forgot to, when he came up, I meant to ask him about one of his players. And so I ran down to catch a man. Oh, yeah, what do you need? Come on. Yeah. So in 4 minutes, He gave me so much information about this guy. It's like I knew him, you know.
Yeah.
And told me what type of player he was, where he played his youth hockey. I mean, everything.
Wow.
But really, the insight that he gave me about, he said he's a modern defenseman. Okay, what does that mean? Well, he defends with his feet. Okay, what does that mean? Well, you know, in the old school days, he was explaining to me, you know, how when you and I were playing, defensemen were taught to back up and, you know, just contain the guy mm-hmm. and then, you know, stay in front of him. Modern defensemen don't do that. Oh, okay. We want to turn with the guy and angle him to the boards, and we don't back up on our goalie. We force him to turn wide, and we swing with him.
Interesting.
And just, yeah, I know. It was really interesting. And, of course, that gave me something to look for throughout the game. And you watch the guy do exactly what he told you he was going to do. And it's like, wow, he can not only explain it to me in a way I understand, but clearly he's explaining it to the players and getting them to do it. So, you know, and Ben's the same way. I mean, I see, as I said, he's very forthcoming. And I see things out there that they're trying to do. I also see the things that he's trying to correct. You know, and they have corrected some of the stuff. How about penalties? Maine was one of the most penalized teams in the country last year, really the last couple of years. And they would take 14, 15 penalty minutes a game. Well, going into Friday night's game, it was down to 5.
That's wonderful.
It is wonderful, but they took 5 penalties that night, and the last one cost them in overtime. But, you know, they don't take a lot of penalties. They don't take penalties like successive one after another. That seems to have been, that message has been sent and apparently received. So
and he was not afraid early on to sit guys, regardless of how long they've been in the program, to make sure they get the message.
That's one of the few things coaches today have as a tool, if you will. In the old days, you know, when you and I were playing and dinosaurs roamed the earth, coaches could get right up in your face and grab your face mask and shake you and smack you around. Today, you know, you can't do that for obvious reasons, but you can sit a guy.
Yep.
And they understand.
That gets their attention pretty quickly.
Yeah. They understand pine, you know.
The international language of
exactly.
Why am I not in the game?
What is the seat of my hockey pants have so many splinters in it?
Yeah.
So, so they've cut down on penalties. The things that I see they're still trying to correct. They have cut down on turnovers. You know, Maine still gets hemmed into their own end. They're trying to get their defensemen to carry the puck out of the zone or at least beat that first forechecker. Instead of trying to pass through the guy. And there's a couple guys that can do it. Brazil, Sirota. Sirota particularly is the one. He'll carry the puck. He'll keep it on his stick longer, make that first step around, that first forechecker, and then make the pass. The other guys, you know, they're still struggling with it. So Maine, you know, gets hemmed in. Once you get past their top 2D, they still get hemmed in quite a bit. And then they expend a tremendous amount of energy just getting out of their own zone. By the time they do, the opposition has got players back, and you no longer have an odd man rush. In fact, it's an odd man rush, you know, in the other team's favor, you know. So got to work on that. We definitely saw, as I said before, more pucks to the net on Saturday night, which they're really trying to get their defensemen to just wire the puck on net. It does not have to be a slapper. A wrist shot on the goaltender's pads about 6 inches off the ice so that somebody can get a stick on it, either on the way through or on a rebound. That is so much more effective. You got to get the goaltender moving and send a shot in a way that he can't handle it cleanly, where he can control the rebound, steer it to the corner or catch it, and the play's over. So that'll probably be the next step that we'll be looking for tomorrow night. We are doing TV tomorrow night.
And been getting pretty steady play of late from the goaltenders.
Yeah, the goaltending really is not the issue. I mean, you can, you know, Osman gives up maybe the occasional fat rebound, and Thiessen will juggle an easy shot that comes in and makes more work of the occasional shot than you should. But they're good enough, let's put it that way, they're not the issue, okay? And really, defense is not the issue.
No.
It's really offense. It's really main scores. I think it's 1.6 goals a game. Their power plays at 6% proficiency. You know, we've talked about the 80-20 rule, right?
Yep.
Okay, so your penalty kill's got to be at least 80% proficient, and your power play's got to be at least 20% effective. Otherwise, you're probably not in the top tier. You look at all the playoff teams, it's the 80-20 rule. And so Maine's a ways away from that on the power play, but their penalty kill's 82% or something like that. So again, it's not really defense. It's not effort either.
No.
I see a lot of effort out there.
And that's what Ben has said to us a couple of times early in the season. We're nothing against the guys we have. We're not going to out-talent a lot of teams, so we have to outwork them.
They really do. And as I've said on air before, Maine's margin for error is really thin. So they have to make sure, all three forwards are coming back. They're keeping, their defensive structure. They can't, they can't take chances, and they have to play a solid fundamental defensive game, and then hope that they can, generate some offense. They're not going to do it in transition because they're not fast enough.
Right.
They're not going to do it on the power play. Okay, they're going to have to get some dirty, what they called, we called in the business, the business, the industry.
I'm going behind the curtain there with Mike.
welcome to the inner sanctum. We call them dirty goals, Dirty goals are rebounds or redirects, as I said before, because they're not clean shots on the goaltender. And the goaltenders of today, they're all really pretty good. And it's really hard to beat them especially from outside.
Right.
And what you've got to hope to do is, isolate a guy on the off wing side and get a one timer, get it over to him quick for a one timer. And you might get a clean shot that way. Otherwise it's just lunch pail hockey. You're really just going to have to, get pucks to the net, as I said, and get those dirty goals, rebounds, redirects. And so you've got to be, somebody's got to be willing to, get into the combat zone, which is that area in the slot between the face-off circles, and really just get in front of the goaltender and create a block for his vision so he can't see. So
we're talking with Mike Toole here on Downtown. Let's talk about the series this weekend with Union. What unique skills do they bring to the ice?
Well, they're going to be a lot like Maine. They're, I think, 5-8-2. They're bottom third of the ECAC. Don't score a tremendous amount of goals. I think they're averaging about 1.9 goals a game. Their power play is better. Their penalty kill is decent. So I would expect it's going to be very evenly matched. I would expect two teams that are going to try to play a strict defense, not take a lot of chances. You really just can't afford to. Their goaltending looks to be really good. So I think it's going to be kind of what you saw last weekend, where Maine was playing Vermont, and those teams were very, very evenly matched. So I would think you get something like that.
Now, from what I've seen and folks I've talked to, I think most of the reasonable Maine hockey fans understand that this is a time for patience. Are you optimistic about the future of Maine hockey with Ben Barr at the helm?
Yeah, certainly am. Now that I've met him and talked with him several times before games and getting some insight in how he's viewing the team. And so he's very aware of what they need to do and what I think that means. He's very aware of what he needs to recruit too. So it feels like, the early years of, people forget, the early years of Sean Walsh were not great.
No, that's right. It took a while to get to that point.
And Maine is in most games. They've been waxed a couple times, like at BC and I think the first night at Northeastern. But by and large, they're in every game and they're battling all the way through. So, if he's doing that with the talent that he has. And here's the thing. I mean, I look at these teams that come in, like Vermont last weekend, for example. And I think I said this on air, they're a year ahead of Maine because Woodcroft has been on the job for a year longer. They skated six freshmen. five of them were impactful.
Okay. There you go.
Yeah. Okay. So that tells me he's, you know, he's putting his stamp on the team. And I watched the skill level of those guys, and they look pretty, you know, pretty skillful to me. Maine skates two freshmen. Maine is not a young team.
Right.
There, you know, a lot of fifth year seniors, graduate transfers, and so forth. So what I observe of what's happening in college hockey is, it's no longer, you don't usually, if you get a top recruit, you don't have to wait till he's a junior to see impact. Freshmen come in and they're impactful right away. Yeah. So, you know, you get a recruiting class of four or five guys, let's say, and four of them are impactful. Now your team is really starting to look a lot different. And you look around and you see some pretty young players doing some things in Division I college hockey, where it can turn around quicker than you think. I don't think this is a three-year rebuild. It's probably a two. Yep. But I think you're going to see next year, you're going to see a different team, because I'm sure he's going to bring in, well, he's got to bring in five or six guys, yeah, right? Because how many seniors do we have? Something right. like that, you know.
Are you surprised by the relatively smooth transition to the NHL of Jeremy Swayman?
A little bit. I mean, that's a big leap. And I said it at the time when COVID hit and they canceled the NCAA tournament, and Maine was playing well. Swayman was playing out of his mind. Yeah. And I said, the better Jeremy Swayman does at the next level, the more Maine fans will speculate how well we could have done,
right,
and could have gone all the way on the backs of Jeremy Swayman. His last game at Maine, I believe, was that playoff game against Providence.
I think so.
And he made 60 some odd saves, including excuse me, a couple of point blank saves that I can remember. So, I mean, I'm a little surprised that, you know, you see him have success right away. He walked into a good situation where Tuukka was kind of ready to step back, and now maybe he's going to come back in, and Swayman could be the odd man out.
Right, right.
I don't think Ullmark has, he's a pretty big cap hit.
Yep.
So, and Swayman has options. They could send him to Providence and still keep him in the Bees family. But that's a huge leap to go to the next level and do so well. That's a feather in Maine's cap. That's a feather in Alfie Michaud's cap.
Oh, definitely.
To send a guy to the next level, and he has success like that right away. To answer your question, I'm a little surprised. A lot of times, goaltenders, they're the opposite of what I just described, where a freshman comes in and is impactful. Goaltenders, you look around, a lot of the best goaltenders are in their 30s. You know?
That's right. Takes a while to learn.
Takes
those
a while, wouldn't you think?
Yeah.
Yeah. But he's done well. I think he's got a 220 goals against average. I think he's 8-4 or something like that. And, played well. The Bruins sort of middle of the pack. They're not lighting the world on fire, but, it isn't because of Jeremy Swayman.
No,
I think it's similar to what Maine's going through. Not enough offensive production.
Right. You're on the air with Jeff Mannix tomorrow night.
Yeah, the Mannix man. He's a fun guy to work with. The guy is so prepared. It's like, man, he lives for this stuff.
Yeah.
I'm prepared, but I'm not like your partner Bob, who's like Mr. Stat guy. And I've seen the sheet that he works off from, and I'm more of a read and react kind of guy. I know the stats just basically to know the trend and understand what I'm likely to see, but I'm not going to be spouting, you know, numbers to you all night long. But yeah, so tomorrow night, and it should be fun, and it's our last look at Maine before they go on the road before the end of the year.
Excellent. Well, great stuff. Mike, good to see you as
good
always.
To be seen. Thanks, Rich.
Hope you have a wonderful Christmas and a happy new year.
I've got grandkids, so you know what my Christmas is going to be like.
Oh, I do indeed.
Yeah, yeah.
Granddad with a guitar in hand.
They're into music. They're all about it. So, yeah, it's fun.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Thanks, Mike.
Thanks.
Good
Rich.
To see you. Our Black Bear Reports, by the way, just coincidentally brought to you by ClearPoint Capital. Give Mike Toole a call at 307-7718. Offices in Bangor and Portland.